So with this, we are going to begin a new preaching series, sermon series titled The Deep End, diving into a deeper faith in God, diving into a deeper faith in God. Glad to see Brother Ben Moyson with us this morning. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for your presence. Diving into a deeper faith in God. So let me ask you, so how many swimmers do we have in the house today? Okay, got a few on this side. Well, we got some swimmers on this side. Okay. I didn't recognize some of y'all swim. That's a relative term. Swim. I don't swim very well. I'm just being honest up front. I can swim well enough, maybe to save my life, to stay above water for 2 or 3 minutes, and after that, it's over, y'all. It's over. It's prayer time. It's over. But one thing I've learned about swimming. Listen. Have you ever noticed that when it comes to swimming, as long as you're on the shallow side of the pool, it's comfortable? You know, as long as the water didn't come up above your knees, you know, if it gets to your waist, you know, if it gets up here, you start breathing hard. Some people say, wait a minute, that's a little bit too much. But it's very comfortable, isn't it? It's comfortable because you can stand on your own 2 feet. You know, you can stand up, you can talk, you can splash around in the water, you know, because it's the shallow side of the pool. You know, you don't have to worry about trying to tread water, all of that kind of stuff, y'all. You don't have to worry about any of that. As long as you can stand on your own 2 feet, as long as you can support yourself, you're good in the pool. Because you don't have to trust the water. You know, it's not about how deep you can go. It's not as shallow. You have to go too deep. You can stand on your own 2 feet and you can trust yourself. I wonder when it comes to our faith. That we stay on the shallow end of the pool. That God is bidding us to come deeper. To draw into a closer relationship. And we say something like, God, I'm glad I'm saved, but I don't want to go any deeper than this. I'm good where I am. I'm good with showing up to church every once in a while. That's okay. Listen, no, I ain't mad at you. If you showed up today, I'm glad that you are here. But the question at hand is, how many of us really want to go deeper into a relationship with God? Yeah. At some point, listen, you can either stand on the shallow side of a swimming pool, but oftentimes we look on the deeper side. We see people diving in, diving off the diving board, having a great time, and sometimes we long to be on that deeper side. You have to go to the deeper end, really, if you want to learn how to swim. But again, God is calling us to a deeper place in Him. See, God never called us to spend our entire spiritual life standing where we can simply touch the bottom. Yeah. Where I can say, I got that. I've been there before, y'all, where I got this. But I believe God is calling all of us to a deeper faith in Him. Yeah. Yeah. That's a moment, y'all, when we it requires going beyond the comfortable. Yeah. The uncomfortable. From the known to the unknown. God, I don't know where you're taking me. I don't know how deep this thing is, but God, wherever you're leading me, I'm going to go. That I'm going to dive into a deeper relationship with. That's what this whole sermon series is really, really all about. To move from a faith that says, God, I believe you, to a faith that says, God, I trust you even when I cannot see you. So anybody can have faith in the shallow, can't you? When things are going well, when you're on the mountaintop. But what happens in life, in seasons of life, where you're talking to God, but it seems like God's not talking back to you? Well, what happens when it seems like you're just tread water? You're just tread water, and you're waiting on God to speak or to do something, and you're just tread, and you get tired. Anybody can trust God in the easy seasons, when the answers come quickly, when the blessings seem obvious. But what happens when you ask God again and again, but it seems like heaven is silent? What happens when you're, again, tired of treading water? What happens when you keep asking, but you get no answer? And that's where our sermon text takes us today. So if you have your Bibles, or you can look to the screen, your electronic devices, stand with me as we go to Luke chapter 18, and we look at verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. If you are able to stand again, please stand. I thank you for your obedience. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Again, happy Labor Day to everybody. Y'all having a 3-day weekend. Who barbecuing? Who's barbecuing? Okay, I'm looking because I'm saying, where am I going? Okay, what's the address? Oh, that's right. You barbecue too, don't you? Yeah, right. I think the word on the street is you do. Yeah, we get that address. We'll be okay, y'all. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, it says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I must leave that alone. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you know, God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? And so I want to challenge us in this sermon series as we seek to dive into a deeper faith in God. How can we do that? First of all, by practicing having a persistent prayer life, persistent prayer. You may be seated in the presence of God. And so before we really dive into this parable, and so some might ask, what does that word even mean? And so I liken it as this, that it's an earthly story with a divine meaning, a heavenly meaning, that Jesus is trying to drop some knowledge. In dropping knowledge, he says, it's kind of like, let me tell you a story. And so if ever you're trying to figure out what a parable means, never negate the context in which the parable is actually spoken. It's the key that gives you the answer to the parable. So in this particular parable, we go to Luke chapter 17. Jesus is dealing with the coming of the kingdom of God. He's talking about his return, that one day he's going to return. So Jesus has been teaching disciples what it means to live faithfully as we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he's coming back again. He's coming back for you and for me, but are you waiting with anticipation? Are you waiting with faith? Are you waiting, trusting on God before he comes back again? Then we get to chapter 18, and so we get into this parable. So Jesus is teaching about prayer, and he uses a real world analogy. We're going to talk about the story about this unjust judge in this world. It's a real world analogy. I like this because when it comes to prayer, we don't just pray about anything, do we? We pray about real world stuff. We pray about what's going on in the lives of our loved ones, the people that we pray about what's going on in our lives. It's real world stuff. So prayer is always connected to our current context. He's teaching people how to keep believing, while we wait on him. And know this, that persistent prayer refuses to give up. It requires a faith that won't quit. Persistent prayer refuses to give up. It requires a faith that won't quit. So we're waiting. And maybe you're waiting for a healing. Maybe you're waiting for a better job. Maybe you're waiting for a restored marriage relationship. Maybe you're waiting for some door to open. Maybe you're waiting for some child to come to Christ. Maybe you're waiting for somebody, a child to come home. Maybe you're waiting for justice. Maybe you're just waiting for an answer from God. And Lord knows, it's hard for us to wait. Amen, somebody. Yeah. That waiting in itself, it gets weighty, it gets heavy, doesn't it? Yeah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You had to wait on the Lord and it got real heavy. Yeah. Anybody ever did like me? You asked God for something, you prayed about it, and God didn't come in a hurry, and what did you do? I know, taking matters into my own hands. Yeah. And you mess up some stuff. And so we need to learn how to wait on the Lord, but be persistent in our prayer life before God. And so in this story, he tells a story. It's a parable. He tells a story about this widow, and she has a problem. That she's without power. She has no influence. That she's without social standing. She has to deal with this judge that could care less about her, could care less about what she needed. I found out something that's true. Isn't it true today that those without influence experience the most injustice? Isn't it true that the poorest of people are the ones that are pushed down the most? The people that have no influence in this world, no status, no juice, no power, that listen, they are degraded more than anybody else in our communities. That's why we need community leaders that will stand up for people that cannot stand up for themselves. Hear me, somebody in the house today. So let's allow this story of this weak widow to inform and encourage us to deepen our faith in God through a persistent prayer life. First thing I want us to see in the text. So I'm not going to read the scriptures to you, but look at verses 2-3. Follow me in your Bibles. So persistent prayer starts with a burden. So in this story, Jesus introduces us to an unjust judge and a widow. So the judge doesn't fear God. He doesn't care what people think. He's not motivated by righteousness. He's not trying to do good for anybody. Mark chapter 12, verses 30-31, Jesus says this. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. And so, look at something. The judge violates two of God's greatest commandments. That he doesn't love God, and he doesn't love people. I don't know about you, but listen, I need the kind of people in my life that love God and love all other people. And beloved of God, we have to be the kind of people that love God and love other people. But when it comes to loving other people, it can't just be people that look like you. It has to be all people. Because God loves all people, not just some people, but all people. And so here comes this widow, y'all. And in that time, this widows were, they were particularly vulnerable. She may have lacked economic security, social protection, a lack of influence, and, you know, so she didn't have a hookup. She may not have had the connections like some people have. Like some people have connections. They have connections. They get in trouble. They have judges in their pocket. They have connections, y'all. She didn't have any of that. You know, she didn't have a powerful attorney. She doesn't have political influence. She doesn't have money to just throw around. Hey, handle my case. She didn't have it like that. I wish I did, but she didn't have it like that. And so she has a problem, and she has a need, and her need is for justice. So she says, look, give me justice in this dispute against my enemy. And then we see something. We see the rhythm of the text that she keeps coming. She keeps asking. She keeps knocking. She keeps on coming. She keeps on asking. She keeps on knocking. And so here's the first lesson. You see, you don't become persistent because prayer is easy. You become persistent because the burden is heavy. Let me stop right there. Let's be honest. Can I just be honest with me then? I know Kevin Love. There's some times in my life I wouldn't even pray unless I had a problem. If y'all, come on, y'all looking at me strange. Yeah, so. But how many of us, I mean, for real, like, it's like when we pray, it's like, Lord, we just cut, God, I need this, God, do that, because we have a burden, we have a need. And so a lot, oftentimes what drives us to prayer is really a need. It's a burden. It's something that's going on in our lives. I'm not saying, y'all, we should just pray just when we have problems. Listen, men are to always pray and don't faint. Don't give up. That's what the scriptures say. But there are times, y'all, in my life when it wasn't like this just childhood prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That child, some of y'all remember that prayer?
Yeah.
And that's good for childhood prayer. It's good for teaching a child how to pray. But when you're in trouble, let my vernacular go aside. When you show enough in trouble,
yeah.
You don't pray that kind of prayer, do you? You don't pray, no, now I lay me down to sleep. No, you pray, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. God, I need you right now. God, I need you to move on my behalf. For me, I need you, Lord. I need you. And sometimes we just say Jesus. We just call on the name of Jesus. I found out something. You pray differently when your child is sick. You pray differently when your bank account is looking low. You pray differently when you have more month than money. You pray differently when you need justice in your life. You don't just pray some casual kind of prayer. You pray. You pray in hopes that God will hear you and deliver you and answer you. But how often do we pray and we just stop praying? How often do we pray and we take matters into our own hands? Or we pray and we get depressed and we get upset because we think God doesn't hear us? But what Jesus is teaching in the text is the necessity of persistent prayer. Listen to me now. Listen. God is not an egomaniac. God is not looking around, well, let me see how many times they're going to keep asking me for this because it makes me feel good. The God is not sitting up in heaven and listening, a big God and looking down, look, they just begging me. That's not a good picture of God. The importance of us praying continuously, consistently, or persistently, it's really about building our faith and our trust in him. Because we know when we go before God, time and time again, eventually he's going to answer according to his divine will. But again, he's not a maniac. I'm just going to wait for until they ask me 100 times. 100 times, then I'll go in. No, that's not God. That God is building our faith. God is building our trust in him. When you need God to make a way out of no way, we learn how to pray to God. Listen, you can write this one down. You can tweet this one out. A burden on your heart can become a blessing in your prayer life. A burden on your heart can become a blessing in your prayer life. Again, because it's the burden that really brings us to God most often. But I'm saying to you too, listen, just pray. Not just when you're burdened, but just pray. Pray consistently every day. Again, here's this widow. She has a legitimate need. She has a righteous request, but she's dealing kind of with the wrong set of circumstances, the wrong person. Which brings me really to my next point. Look at verses 4-5. Read them for yourself. The persistent prayer keeps knocking on closed doors. The judge initially refuses. He doesn't care. He's not listening. He doesn't respond. But the widow, y'all, she keeps on coming. She keeps on asking. She keeps bothering him. Yeah. Eventually, the judge says, I don't fear God. I don't care about people, but this woman is wearing me out. She's getting on my last nerve. People with children in the house. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Have y'all ever had a child that, mama, stop, mama. But we can learn a lesson from children. Daddy. What? What do you want? They realize something, that what they need, you can supply. And maybe we need to go to God like this sometimes. Father. Because he can supply every need according to his riches and glory. Sometimes we need to go to God like that. Because he's a heavenly Father who will supply our every need according to his riches and glory. Now, I want to be clear about something. God is not the unjust judge in the text. Again, we're looking at a parable. We're looking at a story. Sometimes we try to compare apples to apples, and sometimes parables, these stories aren't like that. It's a contrasting story. But what Jesus is teaching us is if an unjust judge eventually responds to persistence, how much more will a heavenly Father, a loving God, respond to our needs? How much more would he not respond to what you need in your life? And he may not respond the way you want him to respond, but he will respond. Can you keep on praying long enough to know that he will respond in the way he chooses to respond to you and to me? Matthew chapter 10, verse 30 through 31. It says this, and the very hairs on your head are numbered, or the hairs that you don't have. You wish you had. But it says, don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. If he cares for the sparrow, if he cares for the lilies in the fields, how much more does God not care for you and for me? Be not dismayed, whatever betides you. God will take care of you. Do you believe that today? Do you trust his word enough to know that God will provide for whatever you need? But what Jesus is saying is God is better than the judge. God is more compassionate. God is more, boy, he's kind. God is loving. God will provide. God is more attentive. God is more faithful than the judge in the text. They're actually opposite extremes. That the judge is on one side, but God is on the other side who cares for us, who cares for us greatly. So I think again about that analogy of a child. Think about a child that's knocking on a door, knock, 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 and you're on the other side of the door as a parent. How long do you think that child's gonna keep knocking on that door? As long as it takes for you to open the door? And maybe sometimes, like God is saying, I wanna see just how faithful you are. Are you gonna trust me? Are you gonna keep on knocking, or are you just gonna give up and walk away? Our faith grows. Our faith grows, y'all, as we keep on knocking, because the more we knock, the better we trust God, the deeper we trust God, the deeper our faith becomes, the stronger our faith becomes. Just keep on knocking. I'm saying to somebody, you just need to keep on knocking. Yeah. Keep on trusting. Yeah. Stay persistent. Don't give up and wait until God opens the door. So Jesus said, Jesus is saying, I'm telling y'all, you got to keep asking, you got to keep seeking, you got to keep knocking, Matthew 7:7. So why keep knocking? Because prayer isn't about forcing God to open a door. It's about trusting the one who stands on the other side of the door. A closed door doesn't mean God has stopped listening. God is always listening. And maybe sometimes he's preparing another door. Maybe he's getting ready to move in another direction. So sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait, but can you wait? Can you wait on God? Don't stop knocking. Don't stop praying. Don't stop trusting. Don't measure God's heart by the silence of the moment. Yeah. You may be living in a silent season in your life right now, but continue to trust God. Continue to believe him. He will come through. Yeah. Just because the door hadn't opened doesn't mean that God, he's not working. Just because the answer hadn't arrived doesn't mean that heaven has ignored you. Sometimes God is working in ways you cannot see, you cannot even understand or imagine. Yeah. And somebody needs to know a word. Somebody needs to, this next word, because you've been praying. You're tired. You've been waiting. You've been waiting for a long time. And it seems like nothing is going to change. But wait on the Lord. Again, I say, wait on God. Be of good courage. Let him strengthen your heart. So you've been saying, Lord, 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 how long? How long do I have to deal with this? Don't quit. Let me give you this next nugget. Listen, persistent prayer refuses to interpret delay as denial. Persistent prayer refuses to interpret delay as denial. Look at verses 6-7. So now Jesus draws the lesson in this parable. Again, he said, if an unjust judge eventually gives justice, how much more will God respond to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Notice the language, day and night. That's persistent prayer. That's consistent prayer, but that's persistent prayer. That's prayer language that does not give up. No matter how dark it is at night, no matter the day, the prayer that does not give up. Y'all, this is not casual prayer. This isn't prayer, Lord, if you just happen to get around to it, Lord. This is not that kind of prayer. This is, Lord, I'm coming back to you again and again and again, because I know that what I have, you can supply, and I'm going to trust you for it. Amen. So is this us again? How you doing? Good to see you. Praise God. I'm sorry, y'all. Good to see you. Amen. It's been a minute. Praise God. We're back on task. Okay. Amen. Amen. My soul is happy and blessed. Amen. So where were we? Okay. Again, I need to clarify something, and I think it's necessary. So when it comes to persistent prayer, that does not mean that God is your genie in a bottle. Well, as long as I pray to God, God's going to answer my prayer. That God is not like some type of vending machine. Let me throw a couple of coins of a prayer and click it. Let me click a button and what I want is going to come. It doesn't work that way. Anybody ever prayed? You ever prayed and it looked like things got harder? Lord, wait a minute. You're doing an okie doke on me here. What's going on now? Wait a minute. Wait. Anybody ever prayed and God didn't answer the prayer the way you wanted him to answer the prayer? Have you ever prayed, Lord, please heal my mother? He did, but he did it in another way, that she was healed on the other side. Anybody ever prayed a prayer and you thought God was going to answer it just the way you wanted him to answer, but he did it in another way? And you have to learn to accept the way God chooses to answer your prayer. Because God is sovereign. God knows everything about everything. And you may not even understand why God didn't answer the way you wanted, but he answered according to his divine will. So I want to clarify that point. You don't put in enough prayers and automatically get what you want from God. Prayer often, y'all, it can change things. But I found out something, that prayer will change us. Prayer will change you before it changes things. And even if things don't change, you know that God heard your prayer and he will answer. Yeah. So sometimes God changes the circumstance, but more often God will change our perspective, our way of seeing things, that we simply learn to trust God. So prayer doesn't always change the situation immediately, but it gives us room. It gives us room to change deeply. Y'all, last thing, and we're going to be out of here. We're going to go ahead and get some chicken or something, and we're going to enjoy the rest of our Labor Day weekend. Persistent prayer teaches us how to trust God when we don't even understand what God is up to. This last thing, persistent prayer builds a faith that can survive the wait. Verse 8, persistent prayer builds a faith that can survive the wait. Then Jesus asked a troubling question, y'all. And this is interesting. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? Let that sink in for a minute. Now, I didn't say how many is he going to find that are saved, but how many will he find that has genuine, sincere, and real faith? People that know how to trust God, yeah, no matter what's going on in their lives. Will he find faith? Yeah. Not will he find you. Will he find you in the church? Will he find you serving? No, will he find in you, will he find real, genuine, sincere faith, yeah, yeah, that says, God, I trust you no matter what, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how bad it gets, God, I still trust you. So how many people got everything they prayed for? Raise your hand. Now, come on. Did somebody on this side of the road, you pray everything you prayed for, you got it. Come on, Brittany. Everything? None of us. Look at where we are today. We didn't get it, but we sit in the house of God. Yeah. We still praising him and lifting him up. To me, that's a picture of faith, y'all. That's a real picture of faith. That God, maybe you didn't give it to me the way out, but that's okay, God. I still trust you no matter what. The real test isn't whether God answered according to your schedule. The test is, can you still trust him while you are waiting? Can you praise him before the breakthrough? Can you worship him before the answer? Can you trust him before you understand? Can you keep believing when you don't see? That's mature faith. And that's what persistent faith is. It's growing us into a mature, a stronger faith, like a deeper faith in God. I think about Paul and Silas, y'all. As they were in that jail cell in the book of Acts, and how it says that they were praising God, they were singing to God, that here they are in chains, here they are incarcerated, here they are in jail, not knowing whether they would live or die. Don't remember something. Now we look at scripture in hindsight. We can look at the text and go, oh, they're gonna make it out because I read this story before, so they're gonna make it out of jail. But they didn't know that. They didn't know whether they were going to live or die. All they knew, they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they were serving him well, and they could have died in that moment. But what were they doing? It was midnight, and they were praising God. Can you still pray at midnight? Can you praise at midnight? Can you trust in your midnight? Can you trust that God will come through? And no matter how he chooses to move on your behalf, you simply trust God. Faith isn't just trusting God for the answer. Faith is trusting God while you wait for the answer. Again, anybody can shout when the door is shut. Anybody can shout when the doors are open. Anybody, but can you worship when the doors are closed? Anybody can praise when the doctor says everything looks well. Listen, the doctor's report is great. But what do you do when they say you have cancer in your body? Anybody can celebrate, y'all, when the check comes, y'all. Yeah. Anybody can celebrate when the bank account is fat and everything is looking good. But what happens again when there's little money in the bank? Yeah. Anybody can shout, y'all, when you got a job, but what happens when you don't have a job?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody can shout on Sunday, but can we shout on Monday?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody in the house today.
Yeah.
Persistent faith. There's power in one little word, I believe. And that word is again. That we can pray again and again. We can believe again. We can trust again. We can get up again. We can try again. We forgive again. We can worship again. We can hope again. That we're persistent. It's again. That we keep coming back to God again and again and again and again because we trust that God will come through for us. Persistent prayer reminds us of who God is. The widow's persistence is powerful. Persistence in prayer causes us to stay connected to God, and it helps to deepen our faith and our trust. And I want a deeper faith in God. I want to go to the deep side. I don't want to stay on the shallow side. I want to go deeper in my faith with God. So that's the story. So I simply close with this, because there's something powerful to me about a person that won't quit. Yeah, I went to Baylor University, to Truett Seminary. And so I'm in this doctoral program, and these professors spitting out Greek and Hebrew, and I'm going, I don't remember. What are you talking about? In that moment, I'm ready to walk out the door. I'm ready to pack my bags, Reverend Dexter Brown, and say, I'm done with this. No, 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 no. My people love me back at my church. So I'm through with this thing. But I heard God just the other night say, don't quit. Don't you give up. I got you. And I've learned to appreciate and love the kind of people that have that kind of heart and that kind of spirit. No matter what, they're not going to give up.
Yeah.
And I came from a line of people, y'all. And many of us have. We've come from a line of people that had a don't quit spirit, a don't quit attitude. I think about my mother and my grandmother and my grandmama and them, y'all, the big mama and them's. That they went through hardships. They went through trials, but they did not give up. That there were oftentimes they did not have enough money, but they did not give up. There was not enough food in the house, but they did not give up. But if you ask them what kept them from giving up, they prayed to God. They called on the name of the Lord. And they knew that God would come through somehow, some way, God would come through. That persistent faith. That's a faith that won't give up. That's a faith that will keep on trusting. What am I saying to you? Don't give up. Have persistent faith. Keep on trusting God. Keep on believing God. And I believe this. God will come through. I don't know how. I don't know when. But I know God will come through. So pray on just a little while longer. Pray on just a little while longer. Pray on just a little while longer. God will come through. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Don't give up. 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 Keep on praying. Hallelujah. And amen. Pray with me now. Father, thank you so much for this word. God, speak to a heart right now. There's someone's ready to throw in the towel. Say, I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. But Father, I pray right now that we would just continue to hold on to your unchanging hand, knowing that you will come through, that you will deliver, that you will heal, that you will set free. God, however you decide to choose, however you choose to move in our lives, oh God, we trust you. We trust your word. We obey. We worship. We praise. We serve. God, that we're not the kind of people that are willing to give up too quickly, Lord God, but to hold on by faith. And we trust you and we thank you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had a few nuggets I wanted to drop with you, y'all, before we go. There always has to be that practical side of preaching and teaching. And so these few things, I'm going to give it to you real quickly. So how do we pray persistently? So you got to pray specifically. The widow knew what she wanted. Give me justice. Don't be afraid to tell God what you need. But also pray consistently. Don't make prayer that's just your 911 thing. You know, prayer has to be your everyday thing. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I'm into 911. No, you got to pray to God every day. Be consistent. Then pray honestly. You can tell God when you're tired. You can tell. You can tell God when your husband getting on your nerve. Look at me. Don't look around. Look at me. Don't look around. You can tell God when you're afraid. You can tell God when my faith is weak right now.
Yeah.
Then we can be honest to God. And then we can pray expectantly. Persistent prayer isn't hopeless repetition. It's hopeful dependence. It's hopeful dependence. You can keep praying because you believe that God hears you and he will answer. And then pray while you wait. Don't put your spiritual life on pause until the answer comes. Worship while you wait. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Can we worship while we wait? Can we praise while we wait? Can we lift up our hands while we wait? Can we shout while we wait on God? And to know that he will, Derek, he will come. He will come through. And the church said, amen. And give God praise in the house today. Amen. That's our word. Father, thank you for this word. Lord, it's our heart's desire to grow into a deeper faith relationship with you. To not live our lives on the shallow side. God, to grow deeper in our relationship because you have divine purpose and a plan for our lives. They require us to have a mature faith, a deeper faith. So that when things don't look like we want them to look like, we still keep on trusting and believing you until you see us, Lord God, to the other side. God, that to the point we're willing to tread water, knowing that by your power we're treading and you're keeping us. You're holding us. You're transforming us, oh God, into the likeness, into the image of Jesus Christ so that we can be just like him. So, Father, I pray in this moment for anyone under the sound of my voice that's not in a saving relationship with Jesus. That's where this relationship begins, in a saving relationship with Jesus. If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Father, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in you would not perish but have everlasting life. You did not send your Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. So speak, Holy Spirit. Move. For that person that may have a saving relationship with you, but they're not connected to a local assembly somewhere, speak to that heart right now. And we thank you and we praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And so here's the part of the worship experience that's really important. I need you to lean in and listen to me. That all of the worship, all the praising, all the singing, all of the word that comes forth, it really comes up. It culminates to this moment. Do you have a saving relationship with Jesus? Do you know Jesus as a savior of your life? So here's an invitation I want to extend to you today. To place your faith in Jesus and receive his gift of eternal life, You must recognize that you are a sinner, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that there are none righteous, no, not one, that we confess. We come into agreement with God about our sins. We can pretty up the word sin. We can call it, we've fallen, we've erred, we missed up, it's sin. And all sin is unrighteousness before God. But there's good news. There's good news. And Jesus is that good news. That we repent from our sins. We turn from our sins. We turn to God through Jesus. We ask Jesus to save us by his grace, his unmerited favor. Something that none of us deserve. And eventually we turn over the rule of our lives to Jesus. And allow him to be the Lord of our lives. So if you're here today, and maybe you're You're just thinking about this thing. Preacher, you're saying a whole lot of stuff. I'm not really sure, but I want to know more about this. You can meet with one of our new member ministry advisors across the hallway in room number one. If you say, Preacher, I heard you loud and clearly. I want to be a part of this fellowship. I want to be connected here. You can go across the hallway to room number one. If you are a born again believer, that's a churchy word, but you know Jesus, but you're not connected to some local church where you can worship with other believers, pray with other believers, fellowship, this is a good place to be. Not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect and a powerful God. So we extend the invitation. Our ushers have their hands extended right now. You can follow them across the hallway to room number one. Just get up from where you are in this moment. Just trust God in this moment. Get up from where you are and follow them across. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and amen. Will there be another? Lord, do what only you can do. Do what only you can do. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Do what only you. Draw them by your. Draw them, Holy Spirit. Draw them, Holy Spirit. Do what only you can do. We plead with you. Do what only you can do. Draw them in this moment, we pray, in Jesus' name. Would there be another? Would there be another? And maybe you're here right now and you're saying, listen, I don't want to get up in front of a bunch of people. I don't want people to see me. That's okay too. That's okay. Because after this worship experience, there will still be someone across the hallway that will meet with you. They'll answer any questions you might have, and we'll welcome you with open arms.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.